Welcome to the pre-show. My name is Kareem Kanji. Greg Tilston is still on spring break. Before we get to our guest, Adelin Gray, I want to thank all of you for joining us today on the podcast. Would love for you to subscribe. So all you need to do, go to welcometothemusic.com, click on the subscribe tab, and you'll see all the places that you can subscribe or follow. So we're on YouTube. We are on Apple. We are on Spotify, Amazon, iHeart. If you listen to us on any of those platforms, please follow us. Please subscribe. And if you can, please rate and review. It'll help others like you find our show. Now, back to the main event.
Hey everyone, I'm super stoked to be here. My name is Adelin Gray, and I am a musician from Toronto, currently playing some rock and roll music. And yeah, really excited to be here, like I said before. Thank you for having me.
Hey, Dylan, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Am I pronouncing the name?
Yes, you are.
Dylan. Okay.
No one seems to, so thank you.
What? Okay, hold on. Now, what have you been called?
Dylan. Some people just go with Dell because you just like let go of the end part. Deline.
See, now I'm afraid I'm going to mess it up.
No, oh my God, you're totally fine. At this point, like I'm cool having 50 million names. Like it doesn't bother me.
No, that's good. Good. Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. This is awesome.
So I've been told, research and everything, you're actually a trained musician and composer. Is that right?
Define trained. I have a bit of training. So I have a background in choir. I was in a choir for almost 8 years, from like 7 to 15 years old.
What was the name of the choir?
Young Voices of Toronto.
Okay.
We switched names in the middle of me being there, and to be quite honest, I don't remember what the first name of it was, but that was
Okay.
the name that I left.
Okay. Okay.
And it was great. So I do have vocal training.
Yeah.
I then moved on to kind of do my own thing outside of that, took vocal lessons again. And I actually just started taking guitar lessons last year, like September of last year.
Wait,
So
what?
yeah.
I've seen you on stage play guitar.
Yeah. So fun fact, I've
Okay.
been faking it and making it for the past many years with my acoustic guitar and had never played a show with my electric. I
Ah.
have like a whatever Fender Squire my dad got me way back when I was a kid, and I never really took it up to perform with, but I always wanted to play it, just never did. So last year I made a pact with myself and said, look, like you got to do it. We need the flexibility from a show standpoint. Like you need to be able to support yourself however you can, whip out the guitar. So I bought a Fender Jaguar, which is like the Kurt Cobain model.
Yeah.
I am a diehard Kurt Cobain fan, and I got it back in February, played my first show that month with it, and then started taking proper lessons in September. So it's been a year of
Okay.
like proper playing.
Nice. That is awesome. So now, okay, so let's go back. Choir, what age were you when you started in the choir?
Seven.
I read somewhere that you composed something as a child. Is that in the choir, did you compose a piece? Is that where you composed your first piece?
No, so my dad's a musician as well, and I think I wrote my first song around like 11 or 12, and I brought
Okay.
it to him. And that
Ah.
was kind of the first thing that we did together. But he gave us, I say us, my sister and I, she's also very musical. She's a few years younger than me. But my dad bought us this little voice recorder when we were young. Like I think she was 3 years old or something. And we would run around the house recording stuff. We had a piano in the house. We'd just write random stuff. So every now and then we pull those up, and it's horrifying, but also quite endearing.
Do you like so did your dad perform this song that you put together?
No, oh God, no,
Okay.
it has never seen the light of day. But
Until
yeah,
today.
stuff.
Until
Okay,
today.
I'm playing
This
it
is your life. Do you
live.
remember the words at least, the lyrics to this song?
I believe this was a song that I wrote for my sister, and
Okay.
it was called "You're the Best."
Aww.
And honestly, like tap on the back or pat on the back to me because it was pretty catchy. The chorus, it was like this poppy. I wanted to be Miley Cyrus when I was like, I mean, I still want to be Miley Cyrus, so I guess that hasn't stopped. But from a
Sure,
very,
yeah.
so everything I was regurgitating was very poppy, and yeah, it was catchy. But yeah, "You're the Best" for my sister was
Oh,
it?
that's amazing. That's so sweet.
Yeah.
Look at that. That is so nice. So what were your musical influence? Was it just your dad being a musician and spending time in the choir that drove you to want to do this as a professional to hit the stages and stuff?
Yeah, I think it was mostly, well, yeah, I'll give choir some credit. I was gonna say it was mostly my
Yeah.
dad, and it very much is still mostly my dad, but the choir piece played a part when I started getting solos, and I loved
Ah.
the attention. I was like, yeah,
Okay.
watch me, here we go, like little 7-year-old, okay, relax. But I would perform in like school plays and stuff. Like I always had the performance bug, and I always wanted to be the center of the tension of attention. But I'm also the biggest introvert, so music was kind of the opportunity for me to control the attention that I'd be getting.
Yeah.
But yeah, it I think it stems from my dad.
Okay, so now we have to unpack this. Dellen's an introvert.
Yeah.
She loves doing solos in choir as a kid.
Oh yeah.
And now you've performed at the Horseshoe and other places across the city and province and country.
Yes.
And you're an introvert. No,
Yeah.
you're not an extrovert.
No, like catch me on my couch every weekend. I'm not clubbing. I'm not partying.
It's interesting you say that. And you know what? It caught me off guard about a year or so ago. I went to see a Ryan Reynolds Netflix movie that was premiering at TIFF.
Okay.
And what shocked me was he came out on stage and he was like staring at the ground for half the time. He couldn't look up, and I'm looking at him and I go, yeah, I mean, oh, it's Ryan Reynolds, like a stone's throw away from me. But I go, he is shy. Oh my goodness.
Crazy.
And then last week, I don't know if you know this musician, Adrian Sutherland. He's indigenous from Attawapiskat.
Very familiar name.
And I just love his performances. I sat down with him while he was in town. He's so soft-spoken,
Really?
doesn't like talking about himself a lot.
Wow.
And I'm like, in my
Huh.
head, I'm thinking, this guy's on stage playing, rock music. And I'm going, oh my goodness. So tell me about these two Dellen. I want to spend, because he told me the same thing. He'd rather go to a restaurant. And you're telling me you'd rather, sit on the couch on the weekend. So talk to me about these two personas.
Yeah, I think it's like with everything, you need that balance. It's like the yin and yang thing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to be the person that I am on stage 24/7. Like it's exhausting. It is so exhausting.
Okay, yeah.
So my recharge is like my in between show person.
Yeah.
I get to kind of do what grounds me, and I spend a lot of time with horses. I love horse riding. That's kind of my happy place. Like I like horses more than I like people, to be honest. And
People have disappointed us, so I can imagine that.
yeah,
Yeah.
and horses can't, like animal connection is just so, it's just so special, so special. And it, yeah, it really helps kind of X out all the noise because there's so much noise. I'm sure you know social
Yeah.
media, everyone's telling you what you should and shouldn't be doing and how you should look and what you shouldn't eat and then how you should work out. And it's so much. So just being able to shut that off, be like, goodbye, go up to the country and just be in nature is what I would love to do until I have a show. Like That's kind of it. It's like Country Bumpkin and then play a show and rock out.
So how does it feel like when, because I think the one time I saw you at the Horseshoe, it was Del and Gray. I don't know if you had if there was a name for your band, and if there was, I didn't catch it. But how is it like you are the person that people are coming to see? They're not necessarily, maybe they know the drummer or the guitarist, and they might come and see them, but they're coming to see and listen to you, and you take center stage. How is that? I know you say, you could do it some of the times, but you can't do it all the time. But how is that feeling? Do you thrive off of that?
I love it. I love it. I said, my in between performances is my recharge, but I also get to recharge when I perform. Like, it's an energy, it's an adrenaline that I don't get from normal life because it's not normal. Like, being in front of people and feeding off that energy, trying to give this, like, trying to put on a show, that's not like a normal thing to do. So it's, yeah, it snaps me into this really cool place. And it's so special to see people coming. I mean, I have friends that have come to every single show, like acoustic shows, full band shows, like you name it. They've gone across the city, they've come to different cities. Like, they are diehard fans. And it's cool because they're not just coming because they're my friends anymore. Like, they're coming because they actually want to come to the shows. Yeah, seeing people from like Instagram who've randomly followed me and then pop up after a show, you're like, oh my God, you're a real person. This is really cool. I really love it. I don't love attention outside of shows. Like, I really love when I'm getting attention because my music has connected with someone. Like, I'm hoping people are coming for my music more so than to just look at me on stage. Like, that's probably not why they're coming out. So I think that makes it even more special is, wow, you like my music enough to leave your house and spend time with me and share this moment with me. It's very cool. Very,
That
very
is
cool.
so true. You have your own record label now.
I do, yeah.
How dare you? No, I'm just kidding.
I know. Like, come
But
on.
yeah, so but today, like, so I think I first heard about you. We've had Biff Naked on a few times.
Yes.
And I think she had mentioned you. And I think the first time I was like, checking you out and researching you, I think you were signed to her label. Is that correct?
Yeah, so she actually managed me for about 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah, she's, oh my gosh, I'm sure you know if you've had her on before. She's just incredible. Like, she's the best person.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
So kind and generous. And yeah, we had a really great time together. Unfortunately, we're not working together anymore, but it wasn't like a blowout or anything. We were just going different ways. So yeah, I love her very, very dearly.
Yeah.
She's badass.
Well, listen, I want to get to Delinquent Records, because that's your label. But
Yes.
tell me about she's an icon in the Canadian music scene. She's still doing things in the scene. Tell me about, what did you learn from her?
She is an incredible performer. And I learned a lot watching her. I went on a couple of tour dates with her just before COVID hit. Like, it was so unfortunate, because yeah, it just kind of cut things shorter than I had hoped. But we played some awesome shows. And of course, I was there to watch her show after I opened for her. And she just has this way of connecting with people. She's not trying. Like, I think that's the coolest thing, is she just owns who she is to the greatest extent and is just like, take it or leave it. And everyone loves her because of it, because there's no like facade. She's not a character. And I know that works for some artists and that's really cool. But I definitely related to her on that front. Like, I don't want to get up on stage and pretend. I want to get up on stage and feel like I can like be as crazy as I want or as low key as I'm feeling, like do whatever comes to me because of the people who are sitting in the crowd or because of how I'm feeling. Like, she was so incredible at doing that. Just like harnessing everyone's energy, reading the room and just delivering according to how she felt. She's like, yeah, okay, I'll give you this tonight, or yeah, maybe I won't tonight. But yeah, incredible storyteller, incredible performer. She was such a great mentor, still is.
Nice.
Yeah, very generous and kind.
So Delinquent Records.
Yes.
Tell me about this, why the decision, why not go with another label?
Because it's not an option right now.
Okay.
Point blank, no one is knocking at my door trying to sign me anytime soon. The music industry is in such an interesting flux right now because labels don't really care until you're a done deal. And you can see, okay, yeah, people are coming to the shows and we can profit off of this, which makes sense. But there's not a lot of artist development being done anymore. So I figured, why not start my own label? Like Joan Jett did it. All the
There you
labels she
go.
was going to with oh my gosh, I can't remember what it was. I think it was like I Love Rock and Roll or something. She was going to them and she's like, please sign me. Like I have something. And they're all like, no, don't want it. She started her own label, Blackheart Records. I think they're still around. And she's Joan Jett. So why not? Like she did it so that she could surpass or get past that roadblock. And I'm kind of
Yeah.
doing the same. Like, you know what? Gotta be independent. So here we go.
Yeah. It's punk rock ethos.
Yeah. And control. Like I want to control my music and
Yeah.
where it goes and who gets a piece of it. And yeah, I don't know. I think it's cool. And also delinquent with my name kind of just made sense.
Yes, absolutely. Speaking of people that you've worked with, did I read this right? Steve Lillywhite?
So I haven't worked with him,
Okay.
but he has been very generous with his time. He's given me a lot of feedback on songs. We connected at CMW, Canadian Music Week, several years
Okay.
ago. He was a panelist there. And oh my gosh, it was so funny. I literally went to CMW to meet him. Like I had it in my mind. I was like, I am gonna meet Steve Lillywhite and I'm gonna show him my songs and he's gonna love them. And that's
Yeah.
just what it's gonna be. And so I go in and watch his panel and I was so just like overcome. He is a household name. My dad is an insane U2 fan. Like we have all of their records over here. And
Okay.
so I've known of Steve Lillywhite since I was a child, and to be able to put like a face and an actual human to this name was incredible.
Yeah.
So I chase after him after he leaves the room, along with pretty much everyone else. And I get in this line because he's doing this mentor table for like 30 minutes. And I end up being the second person and I rush him and I'm like, I know this is not what you're here for. You're really here just to give some guidance, but can you please listen to a song? And he's like, hell yeah, let's do it. So I gave him my Beats headphones and played him a song that's out right now. It's called Listen to the Thunder. And he was like, I really like this. Let's keep in touch. And we've
What?
kept in touch ever since. And I
That's
don't
amazing.
hound him because he's Steve
Sure.
Lillywhite. And
Yeah.
like just the fact that he's willing to listen to my songs is insane. But yeah, he gives me feedback. I send him songs before I release them. And I'm like, what, sir, what do you think? Like, how is this
Sir.
working for you? He's great. He's an awesome guy. So I haven't worked with him. He hasn't produced anything, but he's been a mentor and has really been influential over the past few years. Yeah.
That is amazing. I want to ask you this question. A couple of years ago, Rolling Stone and probably a few others were talking about the death of rock and roll. There's no more rock and roll. If there's rock and roll, it's all of the legacy acts, and no one else. And I wanted to ask you, because you play a brand of rock and roll, today's music is very poppy. And is there ever pressure from the things you might hear on Spotify or maybe the radio, if you ever listen to the radio? Do you ever put yourself under pressure to think I need my tunes to be more catchy, I need it more poppy? I'm curious about your thoughts about that.
Yeah, I think it's so tough because everything is so saturated. Like, even if I were to switch over to pop, the chances of me quote unquote making it are probably the same as if I were to continue on with rock. Like, it's this really interesting kind of double-edged sword where everyone can do what they've dreamt of doing, which is like releasing music and doing the musician thing. But in consequence, like, no one's hearing anything really. Like, no one's really breaking out because it's so saturated. So I feel like there's definitely pressure every so often to like align with TikTok trends and, you know, follow where the money seems to be going as an investment in artists. But at the end of the day, like, I'm gonna write what makes me happy. And right now, I'm writing a lot of acoustic music, which is actually what I kind of started with when I was like 15 and first started working with a producer here in Toronto. And I'm not gonna stop it just because it doesn't rock out like the other songs that I've written. You know, I kind of just want to ride the wave. Rock is my main thing, but if I'm going to be swayed by anyone, it's going to be myself.
All right. That's awesome. That's refreshing to hear. That's awesome. Thank you for that.
Thanks. Yeah, thank you.
You've done some teaching. Is that, am I right there with kids and coding and AI? Yeah.
Yeah, I have. For the
Okay.
past 8 years, I have
Okay.
worked as a coding instructor. I work for a tech not for profit, and
Okay.
it's how I pay the bills, you know,
Fair
because
enough.
Spotify, the 2 cents I'm making isn't really cutting it. So yeah, I went to school for a year in 2017, and I got my first job at this company. I haven't left
All
since.
right.
But I was doing school full time, working full time, and then I moved back to Toronto from Waterloo, where I was at university. And I've just kind of been balancing things ever since. Degree, work, music, I like all
Nice.
of it kind of melds together. It's pretty awesome.
What are your thoughts on AI in music, AI and songwriting?
It's pretty scary. Like,
Yeah.
it's scary because there's already so much going against artists from a I don't even know, like, longevity isn't the word, but even just like building a career from that kind of standpoint, there's a lot going against us. Like, streaming platforms, we're not getting paid as much. Touring, we're losing so much money. Like, merch sales isn't going to cut it. Labels don't care unless you have fame on TikTok. So AI being able to like replicate what people want exactly and not having people have to look for it anymore is a little bit daunting. But the flip side is, I think a lot of new like AI technologies coming out. Side note, I'm a fiend for LinkedIn. Like, I am crazy on LinkedIn right now, just like trying to connect with a bunch of people and figure out the industry a little bit more. And I came across quite a few AI posts, and a lot of them were from established artists saying, we're using AI in studio right now. And it's insane.
Interesting.
Like, it's really allowing us to just expand our creative process, like, just do things that we hadn't thought of before. And that's really intriguing to me. Like, if it means getting more creative and not being restricted by your technical abilities, like for me, playing, I have to get musicians to come in because I'm not a drummer, I'm not a guitarist, I'm not a bassist. I'm doing what I can to get to that point, but with AI, I won't have to wait 10 years to like master the craft. You know what I mean? I could program the guitar lick that I'm looking for. So I think from that standpoint, like, it makes things kind of exciting. So, long-winded way to pretty much say that I don't really know where I'm at. I'm a little scared of it, but I'm also a little excited to see even what I can make out of it. We'll see.
Nice. Listen, let's play a song.
Yeah,
Well,
100%.
I shouldn't say let's. It's really you gonna play.
No,
I can't
play
play with
with
it. But tell what song are you gonna play for us just now?
Yeah, I'm going to play a song called Head to the Sky. It's off my latest EP, Good Girls Die. And yeah, I love the song. I wrote it in the midst of COVID and you know, feeling like, well, actually just the end of COVID, feeling like things were starting up again, and I was kind of left behind. Like, there weren't any shows to be played. there wasn't really anything to look forward to, but all these other acts that I was seeing were like getting all kinds of opportunities. I was like, guys, what? Hello. Please, anything. So yeah, the lyric in it is the world kept turning and left me behind, and that's exactly how I felt at the time.
Awesome. Here's Dellen Gray, Head to the Sky. Awesome. Thank you so much, Dylan. Thank you. We have a segment
Okay.
on the show, our only segment, our only like pre-planned segment outside of saying hello, called Lost Venues.
Okay.
So here's the question. Do you have a fun story, a sad story, a crappy story, any type of a story that centers around a venue that doesn't exist anymore?
Oh, man.
That's why it's called Lost Venue. So I'm wondering if you have a lost venue in mind.
I honestly don't think so. And I think I'm kind of lucky for that because I'm able to keep coming back to the venues that I started at.
That's good.
Yeah, I really don't think so. I've had some like horrible experiences at venues, like by because of me. Like my
Because of
cables
you.
falling out in the middle of the show, tripping over stuff. So I've had stories like that, but no, the venues are still there. So maybe that's a good and bad
Which is a
thing
good
because
thing. That could be a good thing. That could be a
yeah,
good thing.
I mean, the
What?
embarrassment, not so much.
What are you listening to these days, Dylan? What songs, what artists should other people be checking out?
Oh man, I'm listening to a lot of Chris Stapleton lately. A lot of his like blues rock stuff. I'm big into like hard blues rock right now. Kaleo, they've been around forever. They're an Icelandic blues rock band. I've been blasting them a bunch, and gotta have a little bit of like harder rock in there. Himalayas are an up and coming band from the UK. They're insane. I don't know if you know Royal Blood, but
Yes.
they're kind of in that realm. Theo Patrick. Yeah, I like my hard rock
How
and
do
my
you discover new music these days?
My Spotify.
Okay.
Yeah, I have my Spotify playlists kind of like, they have the AI generated playlists and stuff pops up. I will say, like, I discovered the Himalayas because they randomly followed me on Instagram. And I was like,
Nice.
this is so weird. There's no way in hell. I like recognized their name because I had heard one of their songs a friend of mine had played like ages before. Like, there's no way this is the same band. Turned out it was. So that was kind of cool. So it's kind of between like social media and Spotify that I'm
Nice.
finding new music. Yeah.
That is awesome. Dylan, thank you so much for joining me today. Before I let you go, if our listeners want to check out what you're up to, what you're doing, maybe catch a future show, buy your music, where should they go? What can they do?
Yeah, I am most active on Instagram. So my handle is at Delyn Grey, DelynGrey. But I also have a website with a bunch of links to like my YouTube, TikTok. I have some merch up there. So yeah, DelynGrey.com is the website. That'll lead you to everywhere else you can go.
Awesome. Dylan, thank you so much. I really appreciate the time.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me on. This is fun.